Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and to bring the truth of God, the knowledge of the gospel of God, and to show why we are here and what God is doing, because this is most important. Because most of the Christianity of the world is so you can be a better person in the world. Now, that's a benefit. That's better than being murderers and robbers and con people. However, salvation is much more. Salvation is greater than that, and salvation must be based upon the truth of God. And this is why the Word of God is so important. And why you need to understand that in the Word of God, there are no lies. We know there are people who come along and say, well, the Bible's full of lies. Well, they may have read a few verses here and there, but they have never really examined it. And it is the Bible that preaches the gospel, that tells us about Jesus Christ, that tells us about the way of God, that tells us the truth so we can come to God. And it's written. New Testament, written by the apostles of God as led by the Holy Spirit. Same way with the Old Testament. When God spoke to the children of Israel, he said to Moses, speak to the children of Israel and say. So I challenge you, go to the Old Testament, the law, and the book of Exodus especially, and Numbers and Deuteronomy, okay, and Leviticus, and find one law or commandment that Moses gave, which he said, I, Moses, tell you, this is what I think that God wants you to do. You won't find it. And furthermore, the great lie, and if you don't understand the lies of Judaism, you need our book, Judaism. A revelation of Moses or a religion of men. Moses never gave any oral instructions separate from what God told him to write. Not the same way with the prophets. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to all of the minor prophets. God is a God of truth and will not lie. Now, we've seen how human nature is the opposite of that, how Satan the devil is the opposite of that. Now, Peter, in writing in his second epistle, brings out some very important things here. And he contrasts this with the lies of the religionists who were even in that day developing a false, man-made Christianity. Now remember, this becomes important because we find in the Gospels that there was a time when Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up into the Mount of Transfiguration and saw the vision of the transformed Christ and what Moses and Elijah will look like at the resurrection was a vision. To show that the gospel that they were preaching was on the same level as the law and the prophets, but now spiritually binding. So let's read what the Apostle Peter wrote. Verse 15, I will make every effort that after my departure, that is my death, that you may always have a written remembrance of these things in order to practice them for yourself. Key note here, God wants it written down so there are no mistakes. Verse 16, for we did not follow cleverly concocted myths as our authority. No, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his magnificent glory. That stayed with him his whole life. Do you think that Peter would dare tell one lie? Absolutely not. Because he received glory and honor from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Now notice what he says concerning the Word of God. "And this is the voice from heaven that we heard when we were with him on the holy mountain." We possess the confirmed prophetic word. All the prophecies of the Old Testament were confirmed in everything to do with the life of Jesus Christ from his pre-existence to his crucifixion, death and resurrection, his ministry, and everything that there is. So you need to understand that. That's why you need to have confidence in the Word of God and the Bible, and this is why you need the Bible in its original order. Because we approach it the same way that Peter did. When we did the translation for the Old and New Testament, it was the truth, 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 nothing but the truth. No traditions of men. No ideas of intellectuals. We possess the confirmed prophetic word to which you do well to pay attention as to a light shining into darkness. And that's what the Word of God is to do. And Christ called the light of the world. Until the day dawns, that's the return of Jesus Christ, and the morning star arises in your hearts, that's the resurrection. Interesting how we put it, right? And Jesus said that those who are in the kingdom will have glory and shine like the sun. Think about that for a minute. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture originated as anyone's own private interpretation. Because prophecy was not brought at any time by human will. So you can't say it's the law of Moses. It's the law of God through Moses. You can't say it's the gospel by Matthew. It's the gospel written by Matthew from Jesus Christ. Same way with Mark and Luke and John. Same way with the book of Acts. Same way with all the epistles of Paul and the general epistles. But the holy men of God spoke, and you can put there wrote, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's why we put full confidence in the Word of God. And that's why we teach the truth. And that's why we show the things that look good in the world that are really sin and errors are counter to the Word of God, against the Word of God. Now then, let's come here to chapter 2 and verse 1. Because we see this today. This has been down through history as well. Chapter 2 and verse 1. "But there were also false prophets among the people, as indeed there will be false teachers among you." How do you know who's a false teacher, huh? They can read the scriptures. You know, Satan quoted the scriptures to Satan during the temptation. But do they quote it correctly? Do they interpret it correctly? Do they tell you to love God, obey Him, keep His commandments? Or do they come and say the law's done away? If you're in a church like that and you want to find God, you better get up out and get away from there and get your nose in the Bible and go through our things at Church at Home. Go to our other website, truthofgod.org, so you can learn the truth. It is amazing. It is mind-boggling, so great and so good. And you need the book, Why Were You Born? You need to understand why God created human life, how He's going to undo everything of Satan the devil, what God wants to do with you now. Now notice what will happen. Who will stealthily introduce destructive heresies, personally denying the Lord who bought them, and bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Now notice verse 2, how that ties in with what we've already covered. Okay? "And many people will follow as authoritative their destructive ways." Question. Did you know that Peter never went to Rome? We've got a whole series on it. Did you know that the whole thing of the Roman Catholic Church is based upon a lie? Did you know that the so-called Pope is not a Holy Father because only God the Father in heaven above is the Holy Father? But people will follow it. How many Catholics are noted by Rome as belonging to the Catholic Church? 1.2 billion people. Have they been deceived? Well, the Bible says yes. And notice what they will do. Because of them, the way of the truth, that's what we teach, the way of the truth, the way of the Lord, the way of Jesus Christ. That's what we teach. The way of truth will be blasphemed. Have you ever read the history of what the Catholics say about Sabbath keepers and holy day keepers and those who keep the Passover on the 14th day of Nisan? Have you ever read any of those things? Have you ever read the past history of all of the martyrdom of the saints that the Roman Catholics have done, the martyrdom of saints that the Muslims have done? Have you? Really? How can they say they are of God? And remember, as we covered, what is the first commandment? To love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. How can those murderous organizations and religious beliefs claim that they are of the God the Father in heaven above? No, they're not. They have another God. And he's the one spoken of in Revelation 13, none other than the dragon, that ancient serpent, Satan the devil. Oh, he's got his good things which look good, and ceremonies which look sanctimonious, but they're filled with idols and evil. Now let's come back here to the first psalm. An amazing psalm indeed. And this lets you through the lens of the New Testament that God wants the changes within, conversion of the heart and mind, not a heart that is desperately wicked and evil above all things and deceitful. Psalm 1. Now let's look at this because this fits right in with the gospel, okay? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners. The way of sinners versus the way of truth. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, there are going to be people out to say, oh, this is the law. Well, have you ever read Hebrews 10:16 about the new covenant? And that the purpose of the new covenant, Christ said, was to write the laws and commandments in our minds and inscribe them upon our hearts? Doesn't that tie right in here with this? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. In other words, he uses the law of God for the basis for his thinking, how to live, what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's evil. Okay? He will be like a tree planted by the streams of water, the Holy Spirit, that brings forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf shall not wither, and all that he does shall prosper, especially the spiritual things in building the character of God in preparation for the return of Christ and the first resurrection. It's amazing what's in the Bible. It's amazing how the Old Testament and New Testament combine together. See? That's why there's repentance. That's why there's baptism. Because when you do and receive the Holy Spirit of God, your mind is going to be, as you study and grow and overcome, be filled with the Word of God, and you'll be like this right here, this first Psalm. Verse 4, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which is the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the righteous is the way of truth. The commandments of God are true. The laws of God are truth. Every precept of God is true, and you'll find that in Psalm 119. We'll go there in just a minute. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Now, when you see the word perish, that means no longer exists. Those who die in the faith are called in the New Testament sleeping, waiting the resurrection. Now let's come to Psalm 119, one of the greatest psalms that there is, and showing all about the laws and commandments, statutes and judgments, and God's love and truth in everything. And when you read it and understand it, you will see that this is undoubtedly a prophecy of how Christ thought of all of these things. Now stop and think for just a minute. That has to be true, because the one who became Jesus Christ was the Lord God of the Old Testament, who inspired this psalm to be written by David. Now, there are 22 sections to it, and each section has 8 verses. And there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And each verse was to start out with the letter that's right above it, like the first one is Aleph, the second one is Beth, the third one is Gimel, the fourth one is Daleth. That's the Hebrew alphabet. And furthermore, the Levitical singers at the temple had to memorize this so they could sing it by heart. How about that? So notice how this starts out. Blessed, not cursed, are the undefiled in the way of truth, the way of God, who walk in the law of the Lord. See, because you're not lawless. Blessed are they who keep his testimonies and who seek him with the whole heart. Isn't that what we talked about in one of the segments, seeking God in spirit and in truth? And that's why there's repentance. Look at the contrast between the human nature that we started out with and what God wants it to become. His way. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Verse 4. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Zealous, right? Isn't that what God said all the way through to the children of Israel? If you will diligently keep these commandments, you'll be blessed in a city, you'll be blessed in a field, you'll be blessed in your basket and your store. You will be blessed in everything that you set your hand to do. And I will fight your enemies and fight for you. But if you don't do them, cursed shall you be in your basket, cursed shall you be in your store, cursed shall you be in the things that you do. And take Deuteronomy 28 and read it and ask yourself the question, is this not describing our nation today under the appall of so many lies and sins? that it's almost impossible to even find the truth. Well, that's why we have church at home, to preach the truth of God. Because as we saw in one of our segments recently, there's no truth in a politician, there's very little truth in a religionist, so you've got to stay at home, get out your Bible, and find out about God in your life. That's the most important thing for you to do, and we'll send you as much as you want. No cost to you. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. See? Because the carnal mind will not naturally do it. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I have learned your righteous judgment. See, the word of God is spiritual, though it's put down on paper, and God's Spirit will lead us to understand it, and is stacked in layers and layers and layers and layers of meaning. Now come over here to verse 9. With what shall a young man cleanse his way? How are you going to change your thinking from all of the evil that we covered there in Mark 7:21? By taking heed according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have laid up in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Doesn't that tie in with Psalm 1? Yes, exactly. Now, here's what will happen. Come down, we'll end down here with verse 18. And this is a prayer that you need to pray. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And all of the word of God is based on the law of God. This is why there needs to be repentance. Look at what God has provided for us. Look at what God wants to do with us. Now let's come to another psalm and see the whole purpose of repentance, baptism, and receiving the Spirit of God. That is to create in you a clean heart. That is to create the character of Christ within you, Psalm 51. Now, this is a good example of how merciful that God is, because this is the prayer that David prayed after he sinned with Bathsheba and taking the life of Uriah the Hittite, which shows you, puts it in the same category with Paul and what he did. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he said, I am the sinner out there killing the true Christians. So think about that. Now, this was really quite a sin that David committed. Took advantage of his office as king, his authority over the army, etc., and taking the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And when he was finally found out, Nathan the prophet said to David, you are the man. So he repented. Here's his repentance. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That's what repentance and baptism is all about. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. And all through the rest of his life, though God forgave him, that never left him. Now notice, a key thing. Now when you do something wrong and other people are involved, then you have sinned against that person. But in reality, all sin is against God because he's the one who gave the law. He says, against you, you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you may be justified when you speak and be right when you judge. God is never wrong. God is perfect. God cannot lie. That's why God is merciful and kind and understanding and ready to forgive. He says he's ready to forgive. but you have to come to God like this. Verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. Now that ties in with Psalm 1, that ties in with John 4, that ties in with 2 Peter, the second chapter. In the inward parts, written in our hearts, written in our minds. And in the hidden part, you shall make me to know wisdom. Then come down here to verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's the purpose of repentance. That's why we're told to repent and be baptized. That's why we need to turn from our sins. That's why we need to come to God and let Him mold in our minds His way, with His Spirit, with His laws, with His Word, with His truth, that we truly become the Christians and people that God wants us to become, and await the return of Christ and the first resurrection to glory. That's why God says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, or partaker of her plagues, for her sins have reached up to heaven. Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to come out? Are you willing to come to God? Then you write for our booklet, Water Baptism, Its Meaning, and the book, Why Were You Born? And be sure to go to our other website, truthofgod.org. It's named that because that's what it is. There are no ideas and traditions of men or anything there. It is the truth of God, rightly divided, so we have understanding. And it is there for you at no cost. So once again, this is Fred Calder saying, thank you for inviting me into your home. Until next time, so long, everyone.